listening to Season 6 of the Devoted Dreamers podcast, where we talk about our God-shaped dreams. I'm your host, Merit Onsa, and in this new season, I want more than ever to point you to God's truth to help you move from uncertainty to action in your God-shaped dream. We will begin each episode with stories of women just like you who have learned to listen to that still small voice of God, who have found the courage to take their next step and have trusted him along the way. But you need to know that this show isn't about hustle or doing more, working harder, or being better. Nobody needs more of that. This show is about experiencing God's grace and learning his love for us in the midst of the labors, dreams, and ambitions he's given us, and all the challenges that come hand in hand with those. So whether you're starting out, or maybe even feeling like the years of dreaming are beginning to run out, whatever your dream and the doubts you're battling along the way, you need to know God sees you. And there's a beautiful passage in Ephesians 1 that I keep coming back to, where our gracious Father reminds you that you were created and chosen for a purpose, in order that you might live for the praise of his glory. So whatever might be standing in the way of your dream, whether that's something deep inside of you or something external, God has a plan for you, his daughter, and he is with you in it. And I pray that you will know those truths a little deeper today as a result of this conversation. You can always connect with me and the other listeners in my Facebook group or via my Instagram at MeritJO or as a patron of the show. Everything you need to know, including the show notes, can be found on my website at meritonsa.com. And now, here's today's episode. Hello, Devoted Dreamers, and welcome back to the podcast. I am thrilled that you're here with us today, and I'm super excited to introduce you to our guest, who is someone that we actually just figured out. We met in a Facebook group, and she was introducing herself, and I was like, ooh, I need to know more about Leslie Pyle. So let's get into a little bit about who she is. She is the founder of HireMyMom.com. Which is a boutique service connecting entrepreneurs and small businesses with top-notch virtual professionals across the country. She founded this company in 2007. And Leslie, as I have gone through, like, looking at more of your bio and how long you've been doing this work, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I think you had a website before a lot of people had websites.
Yeah, I kind of think I might be a dinosaur in the industry because I started a website before I even really knew what the internet was.
Yeah, I mean, I like made a note, like, what was I doing in 1996 when you launched your first website? And I was starting my first job out of grad school. So, goodness.
And I'm sure some of your listeners were in intermediate diapers? School or maybe even diapers.
Anyway, thank you for being here with us, and I'm excited to share you with the listeners.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be with you, Merit.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't beat around the bush. Let's just jump into it. What would you say is your God-shaped dream?
Well, funny thing is, my God-shaped dream was not to start a business or a website. Mm. However, as God usually does, what we think we might do, you know, when we're in college, isn't always what we end up doing. So I had graduated with my bachelor's in journalism and PR and could not get a job for whatever reason, even though I'd done all the things and had, you know, top grades and internships. So I was like, okay, what does that mean? Well, maybe I'll just look for a scholarship and go back to school. And I ended up getting a full scholarship from the Rotary Foundation to study abroad in Scotland for my master's in PR. So in my mind, I was going to be Miss Career Woman with my stilettos and my briefcase, and I was going to work on like the 70th floor in some big tower and be Miss It. Well, that did not come about at all. In fact, I finished my master's degree and I didn't even complete 1 year of working in a traditional job when I had my first baby, who was born in end of 94, so early 95. I went back to work for 2 weeks. At that time, I was a PR coordinator for a golf school. in Austin, Texas. And so I promoted their tour clinics around the country and had full intentions on going back to work. However, when the doctor laid that baby on my tummy, something shifted in me so dramatically. And over the next 6 weeks during my maternity leave, I really wrestled with how I was going to leave her in someone else's care. But I'm a person of my word, and I had told my employer I was coming back. So I did. I put my baby in daycare for 2 weeks, and I cried every single day. It just was not for me. And so I talked to my employer, is there any way, is there any opportunity to work from home part-time, any flex work or anything like that? And of course, this was 1995. Working from home was not a thing. It was not an option. And they could tell I was miserable. So after much prayer and talking to my husband, we decided that we would make a go for it. We cut every single bill we could. We got rid of our cable TV. We sold one of our cars. So we became a one car family. We went back to our college days and ate ramen noodles. Like, we were on bare bones. But even with all of that, we knew I needed to make at least $500 a month just to pay. And we weren't living extravagantly. We were living in a modest, like, 1,500 square foot home. But, you know, we were fresh out of college, not making a ton of money. And so I hit the ground running because I was like, I've got to make this work. I am so motivated to be able to work from home with my baby that even though sales and pushing and promoting myself is not a comfortable thing for me, it became something that I was driven to do because I so desperately wanted to be with my baby. So I hit the ground running, and this was before social media. This was before the internet was really big. This was when you picked up the phone or you knocked on doors.
Yeah.
And so that's what I did. And I, you know, was able to use a few connections and say, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. I've got a PR background. I can do communications. I can do newsletters. I can do desktop publishing back in the day. And so fortunately, I was able to get a client or two early on, and from there, grow my freelance business. And I did that for about 6 months before I was like, wow, this is hard. Like, where are all my mom bosses back then? You know, that wasn't a term, but I could not figure out where the other moms like me were and how to develop a community so we could learn from each other. Like, how do you do this? How do you do meetings? What do you use to bill your clients? How do you market yourself? What do you do about childcare? All those things and all those questions that I had, and I did not have a way to connect virtually at the time. That's where the idea for my first website came about. I was like, I've got to find a way to connect these ladies. And so I taught myself how to create a website. Back then it was using Microsoft Front Page, which is, you know, part of the Microsoft family. And so I created a website and launched my first website, which was homebasedworkingmoms.com, or the initials HBWM.com. And the beautiful thing was, is having that PR background, I was able to do news releases, press releases, and get some publicity for that pretty quickly. And I think was within the first 3 months, I had a piece, a little blurb in Baby Magazine, which was the magazine that that you found when you went to the OB-GYN office, one of those free magazines back then. And so that kind of helped me launch my home-based working mom's business. And from there, I transitioned out of freelance work and solely did that website, which was kind of like a Facebook-type website, but only for moms who work from home. So you could, you know, connect to other moms. You could network. We did a monthly newsletter. We did introductions. We provided a platform and a forum to connect to other moms to buy and sell from and that sort of thing. So I did that for about 14 years when I decided it was time for HireMyMom.com, because by then in 2007, more people were okay with hiring people to work from home. They were more open to it. It had been proven that it wasn't like people were just sitting in front of their TV and pretending to be working, which I think employers back early on thought, man, I can't trust you to work from home. You won't do anything. But of course, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And from my experience, moms want to prove that they will not only do the job, but they will go above and beyond because they're so grateful, like I was, to work from home, that you want to make sure you do an excellent job for whoever you're working for.
Absolutely. And I mean,
I've been working from home. My daughter, my eldest, is 4 and a half. I've been working from home since I went back to work. And I'm like I'm flabbergasted that there aren't more, that there isn't more of this going on. Like, why is this the first time that I've heard of your website? You know, like, maybe I'm not grabbing the right magazines at the region, but it's just so funny to me. And when you said that, like, your employer, and yes, it was 1990, whatever, but just that employers haven't or hadn't at that time, and a lot still maybe don't see this like great value in a mom being able to have both roles of, I want to be with my kids, but I also, I want to work, or in a lot of cases, like I have to work. Mm-hmm. And how do I merge those two spaces? So anyway, thank you for doing this as a kind of a new-ish mom. It's like, oh, this is so needed.
Yes. And, you know, now my oldest is 24, so I've been doing this 24 years. My next oldest is 22, but I still have a 12-year-old at home. So I still have I still enjoy being able to run up to her school and have lunch, or take the day off and just play hooky with her, or take her to the doctor or whatever, and not have to beg for time off or feel bad, because I can just make up the time if I need to early in the morning or in the evening or whatever, if it's something that has to be done, or I can just afford to take the day off sometimes and not have any real consequences. So it's still, flexibility is still such a beautiful thing to me and so many moms who really want to have that precious time with their children, mm-hmm. their families.
Mm-hmm. Well, and otherwise we end up a nation with humans raised by people that aren't related to them, which,
right.
you know, thank goodness there are caregivers, but oh my gosh, I can't even, I'm flabbergasted that there's not a better situation in our country for moms and well, not just moms, but parents.
Right.
So that's hard.
And we actually have people ask me all the time, do I have to be a mom? And no, you do not have to be a mom. But obviously that was my passion, and that's what motivated me to start hiring my mom. So we do have dog moms, grandmas, and even a few dads who are legitimate work from home. And just a little bit about, you know, there's other websites out there, obviously, now, like Upwork and Fiverr. But the difference is we cater specifically to small businesses, and you're not competing with people outside of the U.S. and India and Vietnam and these places where they only charge a dollar an hour. So we really try to help moms find work from home that's, you know, going to help them make an income and not have to worry about scams and all the things out there that, you know, are not legitimate.
Right. Well, and my husband says, I mean, again, not to like bag on her, all these other sites, but like a lot of those are race to the bottom. Like, who can do it the cheapest?
Yes.
And that doesn't do anybody any favors either.
Right. And that's one of the reasons we have our website blocked to outside countries that aren't English speaking, because I don't want a mom that's got a professional background competing with someone who charges a dollar an hour. And a lot of the small businesses and entrepreneurs come to us because they don't have to weed through 1,000 applicants from outside countries. And they know that these moms are familiar with the U.S. business culture and customs, and they don't have to teach them English or worry about whether they're going to have internet one day or, you know, that sort of thing. So
sure. Sure. So if somebody wanted to either provide services, work from home, or hire somebody, they would just go to your website and follow the prompts?
That's correct. Yes. You can join either as a job seeker, or we call them mom professionals, or as a small business looking to hire.
Great. Awesome. Okay. So I'll definitely link to that in the show notes in case someone can't remember hiremymom.com, but that's super memorable. So great URL.
Thank you.
Well, talk about, so you said you've been doing this for 24 years, and I'm sure somewhere along the way you encountered some challenges or some struggles. So talk about, like, maybe specifically any fears that you had, or what were some of the obstacles you had to overcome?
Well, lots of them, because I did not have a big business background. I worked for 9 months in a traditional job and I got really zero business experience. So people say, follow your heart, follow your passions, you know, and kind of learn as you go. And that's exactly what I did. Now, you know, Hire My Mom is not a household name. Probably a lot of your listeners have never heard about it because I am not a marketing guru or a person who's looking to have investors to make this the biggest company ever, because I value my time and my family. So I call it a boutique site. And that's where, I've still had to grow. I've still had to learn a lot of different areas of business that are not my area of expertise. But I've learned there are so many resources out there. So where my fears were in feeling inadequate, not good enough, not smart enough, and all of those things. First of all, you know, the enemy loves to lie to us and tell us we're not good enough or we're stupid or this isn't going to work. But when you have a passion in your heart and you pray about it and you really feel like, yeah, this is the direction I feel like God's calling me, then you kind of just have to step out in faith. You have to know that you may not know all the answers today and you may not know them tomorrow, but you can answer one question today, one question tomorrow. And so I'm a big believer in learning as much and being a continual learner. So I usually always have at least one business book that I'm reading, as well as a Christian growth book that I'm reading. And I can say more about that later if you're interested. But I also listen to podcasts, on business that help me learn new trends, new apps, new ways of thinking and doing things. So I really try to learn and grow, but I never want my business to consume me. So I try to find that balance. And then I think it's important for us to know our why, because the reason I started my business, my why was I wanted to be at home desperately. And that's what motivated me to look over my fears, the having to go basically door to door and sell myself. That is not, like I said earlier, in my comfort zone. But I had to know what my motivation was. And when you know what your motivation is and what your why is, it helps you overcome those. And, you just cover yourself, your business, and all of that in prayer, because God will give you the courage that you don't have on your own. And He wants you to grow. He wants you to depend on Him and trust in Him. So if He's called you to it, He will provide a way to walk you through it.
Yeah, I can just imagine that, I don't know. I kind of got to make this happen, like that feeling of, and maybe this, this door that I knock on isn't going to be the door, but you never know if the next one will or not. So you just keep knocking.
Yeah. And another thing that's really been helpful to me is not everybody can afford a business coach, but there are inexpensive coaches that can provide you a little push when you need it. And you don't even have to keep a coach. I mean, you could meet with a coach virtually like I did once a month, for $100 or $200. If you need somebody kind of accountability or someone to push you a little bit outside of your comfort zone, that's been really helpful too. And if it's training that you need, gosh, there's tons of training online as well in whatever, industry or niche that you're interested in. So whatever your fears, whatever are your obstacles, I would just strongly encourage your listeners to write them down and then pray and brainstorm on how can you overcome that. What are the solutions? What are the things out there that can help me get to the next level and push through this?
Yeah, that's great. I love the idea of kind of bringing somebody else into that conversation, like a coach. And I think as far as fears, some of that is really, like you said, the enemy loves to tell us lies. So some of it's really unfounded. Like, it's one thing to be like, well, I don't really have the experience to XYZ. Like, I'm not a doctor and I'm not trained that way, so I'm probably not going to do surgery. Like, that's a totally different category. But if it's just like, hey, I've never set up a website before, like you said, there's like, that's not something to actually fear. You can work through that, whether that's with help of online training or, like you said, coach or whatever. Like, like which fears are really the real fears.
Mm-hmm. And what is out there that can help you move past that? For example, if it's a website and you're low on money or a budget, you know, there's free tools out there like Wix, W-I-X, that I know I've heard of friends that have used it. I haven't personally, but, you know, there are free tools and free resources. I mean, we've got the internet, and that's like, you know, you can Google pretty much anything and learn about it.
These, oh my gosh,
an article or a YouTube or whatever it might be.
Pinterest, all of those.
Right.
We are flush with information for sure.
Yes.
Well, is there a verse of scripture that has kind of been a foundation for you as you've walked forward in this dream?
My kind of life verse has been Romans 8:28. And that's one that has just gotten me through so much, because God promises to bring good as we trust out of everything. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say God will bring good out of some things. It says God will bring good out of all things as we trust in Him. And I have seen Him bring good out of so many things in my life. Never on my timetable. It's not always, quick enough for my liking. And, you know, I've had seasons in my life where I'm like, God, okay, I'm pretty much like a little bratty kid. I'm demanding, where is the good that you promised? You promised God, and I don't see the good. And so I kind of, you know, go through that little bratty kid stage with God, and I just continue to cry out like, I'm waiting, God, I'm waiting. And, you know, in His time, not mine, He brings that good, and He shows me, see, this is what I had for you. You've got to be patient and wait on me in my time.
Mm, absolutely. Well, you've given some incredible advice so far. I'm curious, like, is there a piece of advice somebody gave you along the way that you still remember or you feel like was really helpful to you?
I would say prayer. And that is like foundational to me in life, in business, in family, in marriage, in everything. And it's just to spend time praying through your dreams and your calling and what God wants you to do and be. And that may not be some big grandiose thing right now. It might be very small. And I'm reading a book right now, which I alluded to earlier, called Rooted, where God develops your, I can't remember the tagline, where God develops you basically. And it's the most incredible book on that, because a lot of times we have a dream that we want to be a big conference speaker or author or actress or whatever, some big, huge calling. But rarely do you go from A to Z. There's usually a lot of steps in between. And it's just critical that you don't try to rush to the end point, that you allow God to use you in the smaller things. And that might be, you know, serving your neighbors. That might be, you know, I don't know, leading a small Bible study if your passion is to someday teach. I don't know. But you get the idea. It's just to enjoy each season that you have for God and allow Him to grow you in His time and not try to rush the process.
Yeah, I think that's excellent advice. You just reminded me of, it was probably 2 years ago, I told my mastermind group, like, oh, I really would like more opportunities to speak. And I think I put a number on it, like X number of speaking engagements in a year or whatever. And at the end of that year, I was like, well, I might have had one, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just now that, you know, oh, I've got like two or three speaking engagements coming up. And that's in a much shorter period of time. And it's like, well, you do have to start somewhere. And having the expectation that it's all going to, like, you know, grow overnight is, super unrealistic.
Yeah. Overnight success stories usually take about 5 to 10 years.
That's an excellent quotable. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, you've mentioned the Rooted book. Is there any other, you've also mentioned podcasts, other books. Mm-hmm. What other resources would you point out to the listeners?
Yeah. The other book that I'm very passionate about, and I'm actually reading both Rooted and Fervent for the second time, Fervent by Priscilla Shire. And it is a women's battle plan for, I'm looking at it right now on my desk, a woman's battle plan for serious, specific, and strategic prayer. And if you haven't read either one of those books, I would highly recommend, because I've had some things in my life where I've had to get fervently involved in, because I was not willing to settle for what I knew. And it wasn't regarding me in particular. This particular thing was one of my children. And I knew God had plans that were not in alignment or where they were at the time. And you talk about prayer, fervent prayer, and seeing God work miraculously. There were times when I felt like Mel Gibson in Braveheart, charging in the battle on the back of my horse and just, you know, battling the enemy for my child and her destiny, because I knew God had something and it wasn't going to happen in the place she was in her life. So that book has been just such a kind of great tool in your tool belt, if you will, if you're looking for a way to really up your prayer life and get busy fighting for your dreams, your family, your kids, whatever it is.
That's awesome. I've read one of her books before and I don't remember which one, but excellent, excellent writer. And so as you were talking, I kind of had a question that I did not prepare you for. So hold on to your seat. No, not a big deal. I'm curious, you know, you said your kids are in their 20s and you worked, you know, albeit differently than you had planned, but I'm curious what some of your habits were as far as, you know, still getting to do your work, but also pouring into your children over that time. Is there anything that would be, you know, that kind of stands out to you that you're like, I'm so glad I did that?
Yes. For me, when I had littles, I call littles like when they were 0 to 2 years old, I had someone, not immediately when I first started, but once I got a little bit established, I had someone come in, and it was actually a family member for me. It was my sister-in-law who came in and watched them when they were little here in the home with me so that I could have, you know, 4 or 5 dedicated work hours during the day and not have to go to, you know, put my baby in a daycare. Not there's anything wrong with daycare for other people, but like I said, it just did not sit well with my heart. So I could, you know, obviously was present with them as an infant. And then as they got a little older, our church had Mother's Day out. And I don't know if that's kind of a nationwide thing or not, that, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday from 9 to 2, whatever it might be, where they could be in a Christian environment, play with the messy finger paints and things that I didn't want to have to mess with. And, you know, be in a small group of 10 kids and hear Bible stories, sing songs. And my kids all loved that. And so that gave me an opportunity to have dedicated work time. It gave my kids an opportunity to be with other children their age and not have that separation anxiety. So for me, that was a beautiful thing when they were little. And then of course, as they transitioned into school, then I was able to just work while they were in school. And then when they're home, you know, I was able to be there when they got home from school, take them to school, take them lunch, that sort of thing. So not that I always had the balance thing, you know, the perfect little mom hat on. There were times when, you know, I felt like, okay, I did not get things accomplished that I needed to. So I might have had to work in the evening sometimes or on the weekend. So, you know, none of us are perfect and our schedule doesn't always balance out perfectly. But for the most part, I'd say I feel very blessed for that arrangement that worked well for me and my kids.
Yeah, I was going to say, I work a lot of nights.
But, and I do too on occasion, just, yeah. You know, like we were on a mission trip for 9 days we got back last week. And so obviously I got very little work done during the day when we were out serving. So I would work in the evenings or in the mornings. So, you know, it's got to say no to the mom guilt. My kids know, you know, there are times when I do have to work, and I don't think they necessarily at this stage or any time need you 24/7. I mean, they have, fortunately, a father that's can do a lot of things when I need to catch up on work and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a great point that dads get to play a little bigger role, maybe.
And have that one-on-one time.
Yeah, that's really important.
We call it daddy-daughter date night, you know, and they'll go out to Chick-fil-A or go get ice cream or something. And, you know, if I have a podcast or interview or anything that's scheduled in the evenings, you know, they love to have their little daddy-daughter date night.
That's awesome. We try to do that too, or trying to do it more. Well, Leslie, I know that you had something that you wanted to offer the listeners. So do you want to go ahead and dig into that and tell us what it is?
I'd love to. So with Hire My Mom, we have three membership options, and our gold membership package is a 3-month membership. So as a member, you can apply to any and all jobs that you're interested in and qualified for. And that's a $30 value for the 3 months. So I would love to give that to one of your listeners, one of your social media followers.
Awesome. Okay, great. So we're going to do that on Instagram. And this episode is going live on a Wednesday. And so we're going to give it a week until the following Tuesday at midnight Eastern. So you go to my Instagram at MeritJO or Leslie's. What's yours?
Hire My Mom. At Hire My Mom.
Of course it is. So at Hire My Mom. And one of those places you'll see that giveaway, and we will make that available and then announce a winner. We'll ask you to follow both of us and tag 3 friends. So, you know, yeah. Nice way to help spread the word about this really awesome company. So thank you so much for offering that, Leslie. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
It's been so fun to chat with you and to just kind of hear from someone who has been doing this a long time, following a dream and, you know, figuring out how to make it work with all the things that you love and care about in your life. So thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
I would love to have you close us with talking about how this experience of stepping out in faith and trusting God with this dream and, you know, believing that there was something that he had for you, how has that changed you?
I would say the biggest way it's changed me is it's caused me to get out of my comfort zone and trust God, because I think we all deal with our own insecurities and fears. And this has been a platform that God has given me, not only because I'm passionate about being at home with my kids, but I'm passionate about helping other moms who want to be home with their kids. And on the flip side, helping small businesses hire wonderful, talented moms. So it makes it a win-win. And I would say in the last 2 or 3 years, God's really been even working on me and growing my trust in so many other ways too. I feel like he's saying constantly, do you trust me, Leslie? Do you trust me? Yes, Father, I trust you. Okay, let's step out. Let's do this. You know, trust me with your children. Trust me with your business. You know, trust me with all that you are, all that you have. So for me, trust and prayer have been critical in just such huge growth areas for me.
If you have ever wondered how your passion and your dream and your life might connect, this was the episode for you. This interview with Leslie was such a fun one for me, as I have been wrestling so much lately regarding how little respect our country has for the role of parents in their children's lives, and how in the world to think about ways families can make ends meet and make space in their lives for their children. I don't think these two things should be separate. You should be able to work and have time with your kids. So that's what was rolling around in my head when I found Leslie in the Biz Chicks Facebook group, and I am so glad to have connected with her. It is also really fun to see someone who would say that she didn't really have any business experience 24 years down the road in her business. She's making it work, serving a group of people that she's passionate about, and providing for her family. And so many of you mentioned to me as you join our Facebook group that time and money feel like huge obstacles to living out your dream. Leslie is a great example of someone who has made that work. Also, a little side note, I have been thinking about doing some episodes from kind of a how she built this perspective, and I'm considering Leslie and HireMyMom.com as one of my guests. If you would be interested in hearing from her, like how she built her business, drop me an email or a direct message on Instagram or Facebook and let me know. I would love to hear from you. Okay, as always, I want to share a few takeaways from the interview, things that stood out to me that I think would be worth remembering. Takeaway number one, the value of learning as you go, or at least not waiting until you have it all figured out before you take a step in the direction of your dream, because you know that can kind of be a cop-out. But yes, you will likely hit some obstacles along the way if you learn as you go, but that will inform your next steps and it will help you make different decisions next time. I think this is so important and shouldn't be missed as far as a strategy for getting started. Guess what? Just start. Takeaway number two, Leslie looked for other people who were like her. That's how she came to the dream, by seeing a pain point in her own life, realizing that there wasn't a readily available answer to that pain or any kind of support community for people like her. And so she created that answer. It's just one way we can think about what our God-shaped dream might be for those of you who still aren't really sure. And finally, takeaway number three, covering your dream and your life in prayer. God knows everything about you, and he is for you. His favor is upon you. He rejoices over you with loud singing, Zephaniah 3:17. And the best thing you can do as you're facing some very real fears about getting started is to pray over it. Be with God in it, because he is with you as his spirit lives in you, right? Remember that? And his greatest desire is for relationship with you, no matter the dream. He cares about it for sure, but he loves you deeply. So your connection with him is number one. And speaking of prayer, if you are looking to establish a daily habit of talking to God, I would love to invite you into my 30 Days of Prayer email series. It's just one short prayer a day that I send to you in an email. And like, seriously, it's just a paragraph that you can read quietly or out loud, and it'll get you started conversing with God on a regular basis in a very simple, natural way. So many of us, I think, get hung up on prayer, how to do it the right way, in the right location, with the right words. Well, guess what? God's not hung up on that. He wants you to abide with him, to dwell with him. And if you're out of practice or never had a prayer practice, this tool is just for you. Reignite your prayer life. Just go to meritonsa.com/prayer. meritonsa.com/prayer. Enter your email address and start today to grow your daily conversation with God. And just a minute ago, I mentioned our Facebook group for Devoted Dreamers listeners. If you would love to connect with other dreamers, we would love to meet you in the Facebook group. It's a great place to find community with other like-minded women who love Jesus and believe he's given them a dream to pursue, even if they don't know what that dream is. So come on over, join us in sharing our challenges and successes with one another, asking for help or feedback. You'll find us on Facebook in the Devoted Dreamers Insiders group. You will also find the show notes for this episode at meritonsa.com/podcast/128. And there you can connect with Leslie and get all the info about that sweet giveaway of 3 months at hiremymom.com. That's it for today. Come on back next week for my next solo episode on how to just take the next step toward your dream. Thank you so much for joining me in this conversation. And wherever you are with your God-shaped dreams, may you have the courage to take one step toward their realization today.